It is today, Friday, December 18th, 2020. I'm Stephanie Balance, and I'm here with Jamie Partridge over Zoom. And we left off in our last conversation going through one of the issues of, or several of the issues of the Branch Mike, the newsletter for the branch of the Postal Service.
National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 82.
Branch 82. The newsletter of which Jamie was the editor. Correct. For a short time.
Yeah, 2 years.
So we left off in 2008. And so, yeah, I see that you have some in front of you, and we can pick up there with the efforts and issues that were covered in that newsletter.
Yeah, I've been looking through them, and I'm just really excited to remind myself about the culture of the union local at that time. We just had a really progressive, militant, democratic orientation, which is it's just so frustrating what's happening to me now. You know, it's not that way. But in any case,
do you mean those 2 years that you were the editor?
Or no. It was a period. It was a period of a couple decades where I think I talked about that earlier. We had a rank and file caucus which took over the leadership, and for couple decades, we had great progressive leadership, and then we all retired and hadn't trained up our replacements, and the usual conservatism and business unionism and bureaucratism of the general labor movement reinserted itself in our branch. That's where we are right now.
And is that
we can talk about that later?
Okay.
Yeah. Did you want to ask a question about what's
happening? I was just more going to say was that you mentioned that there was a cadre of people who retired.
Yeah.
And is that really what was one of the big reasons of that shift in ideology?
Yeah. And you know, we're still, a bunch of us retirees are still active, but we can't, you know, we're not active on the shop floor. We're active in, you know, more of the Save the Post Office stuff.
Right.
But I'm just looking we certainly did a lot, and also during this time, when we have progressive leadership, we did a lot of, organizing, campaigning for the common good, for working class demands. And I'm looking at these proposed resolutions to bring to our national convention, one on alternative fuel vehicles. This is 2008, right? Resolve that we form a task force and to utilize, you know, active letter carriers to research, design, implement a fleet of new carbon neutral alternative fuel vehicles, which of course has not happened yet. How long ago was that? 2008, 12 years ago. And Postal Service is still stalling on replacing 25-year-old vehicles with electrical. It's not happening. But this other one is on campaign for Medicare for All. Resolved that the letter carriers make the passage of HR 676 a top political priority and undertake a campaign of political education, lobbying, and mass mobilization on behalf of Medicare for All.
This time in 2008, did you have a sense of when you were going to retire?
I think I probably thought I was going to retire at 65. I ended up retiring at 62. Why do you ask?
I just wondered how present that was in your mind of how long you would be within the just when you're forecasting or looking at these issues at the time, did you, you know, were you thinking you would be a member of the, or, you know, of the letter carrier on the shop floor, or were you were you aware that you would be in a different type of role as a retiree?
No, I mean, what happened when I retired was that there was a whole lot of crises that hit the Postal Service. And so in 2011 and 2012, and so I was kind of catapulted into all of national activity around, and lots of, you know, militant direct action stuff, which I could do a lot more easily as a retiree. But, you know, it was just different circumstances, which I had certainly couldn't have anticipated. But I also, it seems to me that I did not run again for editor of the branch, Mike, because I was about to retire, and I knew that I thought it should be an active letter carrier that was doing the newsletter, although I've changed my mind since, but anyway, that's what I decided then.
Okay.
Or maybe, no, that was when I, no, I, no, it was, I had already left being editor. It was when I was still the chair of the organizing committee. And that was when I decided I should, you know, step down as a retiree. But I've probably said this before, retirees have a lot of ability to participate. The only thing we're really restricted from is voting on contracts, on the national union management contract. And I just ran into a big drama around that, but we can talk about that later. Because we're in the process, we're in a big debate nationally around whether to vote yes or no on a tentative agreement on a new contract. And I stepped into the fray, and nationally and social media and stuff, and I was just getting hit from all sides, saying, "What does he know? He's a fucking retiree. He doesn't even get to vote on this," you know. But of course, I know a lot more than a lot of people who are delivering the people's mail about what's going on. But still, you know, that's another story. So okay. I'm looking at the May issue of 2008 of the Branch, Mike, and it's May is Asian Heritage Month. And I do this amazing set of interviews with all these Asian heritage letter carriers, whom I knew a lot of. And there was a whole cluster of them that worked at Forest Park Station, which I had worked at for a while over in Northwest Portland. And then some that I'd worked with here at the Piedmont Martin Luther King Station. And I have some great photos, and, you know, I do a lot of immigration stories, you know, which is really, I mean, I'm have people with Vietnamese, Chinese, Filipino, heritage. And it's really great because I get an opportunity to really try to really humanize the immigrant experience for other letter carriers. Wow, I interviewed a lot of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Anyway, I did some good work back then. I still do. And I'm looking at this next issue, which is October 2008. Jeez, I missed a bunch of them. Too bad. I wonder what happened to those. Well, I may have even been the... Was I the legislative liaison? No, Kevin was. But I was still doing a lot. I was certainly doing a lot of organizing around elections. And this was, so October, that was like right prior to the election where, you know, we elected Barack Obama and all that. And that was one of the years when I was off I was not delivering mail for a few months because I was working with the Oregon AFL-CIO, paid for by my union to do, you know, to work on the election campaigns. And we were focused on getting Jeff Merkley elected. Was that Jeff Merkley? And yeah, and Barack Obama. But I'm just, so excited to see how many, I mean, we have I have a photo of 10 letter carriers in our letter carrier t-shirts about to go out and knock on doors, and a bunch of letter carriers at a protest protesting at Senator Gordon Smith's fundraiser, and just a lot of photos of, you know, doing the door knocking and the phone banking, and then a whole raft of explanations about ballot measures and discussion about what's happening to the economy. This is when the crash was happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all these different descriptions of candidates, which we don't do anymore. The next issue, November is Labor History Month. And I don't know if I've talked about Kelly Pandel, our vice president at the time. So at this time, all three of our top officers were women. Kelly, vice president, this photo of her shows her with a scarf on her head, which means that, oh yeah, it's talking about a healing gift for Kelly. So Kelly got skin cancer, as happens to letter carriers, you know? And she got it right. She got it right below the sleeve line on her left arm, you know, where she was, you know, out in the sun, not protected. And she got melanoma and eventually died. When she was still our vice president when she went, you know, when she went downhill. And so this series of, I was editor during that time. And so I have a series of articles and photos about Kelly. It was a real, real rough for all of us because, you know, not only was she well loved and respected, but, you know, just realizing the hazard, the occupational hazard that could kill us of being out in the sun.
How much is that an issue?
Well, I had at least six skin cancers removed.
Right. You personally.
And I go in every 6 months to have my skin checked. And I'm somebody who used, sunscreen. Yeah. Used sunscreen. And, you know, wore the postal uniform shirt, but without a t-shirt. And, you know, UV rays could go right through that. And, anyway, so my skin cancers have been on my, you know, face, neck, back, arms, and that's, you know, true of a lot of letter carriers.
But in terms of like safety issues being publicized, we've talked a lot about delivery after dark.
Right.
For the union, is that something that is?
Well, it's interesting because we did push and got now new uniforms with, you know, this that block UV rays, but no, it certainly isn't a There's a lot of other stuff that we're focusing on. It's interesting. Yeah.
And Kelly pans out.
More letter carriers, I think, get killed in auto accidents or get shot or something than they do die of skin cancer.
Oh, geez. Is Pandel P-A-N-D-E-L-L?
No, P-E-N-D-E-L-L.
Pandel.
Kelly, yeah. So I'm this issue of the branch mic has, and as you mentioned it, we've talked a lot about the After Dark issue, so I don't need to talk about that more. But another article about, if you are of the opinion that you're unable to complete your deliveries prior to darkness, you need to inform management in as far in advance as possible. You should not be required to deliver mail in the after dark, blah, blah. But we're not fighting that fight these days. And here is a point counterpoint, which I did quite a bit actually, was, had differing opinions on issues. And this is like this is on Obama. Interesting. But anyway, like I said, encouraging full, free, and frank debate. I'm looking at the December issue and, this is the first of my several series on 100% union stations. This is Park Row Station. And of course, because we're an open shop, you're not required to join the union, even though the union is required to represent you. We are currently, I think, 97% organized, but back then we were more like 85 or something. And so it was a big deal to have, 100% union station. And I'm looking at the headlines, bad managers are best organizers. And just it was a description of, several incidents of, a carrier who got active in the union because they were unfairly, disciplined by management. And talked about, this is Jerry Fitzsimmons, who was a quite active, both shop steward and then later a branch officer, said the shop steward dropped the ball on his grievance. And so he started going to the union steward councils to learn about his rights, and shortly got elected himself, and tells similar stories about how he signed up longtime non-members. One was angered by a supervisor who spied on him and unilaterally moved his lunch spot. And when Jerry said, "Well, today would be a good day to join the union," the carrier agreed. And Jerry went after the last holdout by taking breaks with her. One day the carrier was wrongly drafted to work a holiday, and a grievance won her a tidy sum of money. She joined.
Which station was this?
Park Rose, out on 122nd, whatever it is, Stark, southeast. And this section called Solidarity. This is a carrier describing when a carrier is picked on, others will come over in support. When there are five or six of us to one supervisor, management person ends up moving on. We were always a talkative bunch. One group would be told to quiet down, and when they do, another group would start up nearby. And when that group is told to quiet down, another group starts farther down the aisle. And sometimes the crew can get the supervisor walking around the station in a circle, trying to snuff out loud talk to the great amusement of all. This is not unusual. This happened in my life too. I just love these stories. They really make my
How much of a
feel good
job was this? I mean, interviewing those people, the stories, it seems like a hefty amount of work.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I was doing phone, you know, these are phone calls after work to people that I knew. But, you know, this is like, you know, the basic class conflict that happens on a daily basis for all workers and with bosses. But so I like to share this just because I know that people who are interested in labor history will, or who, you know, study this stuff or will recognize this is similar in to lots of workplaces. These folks said that their Park Rose carriers got together once a month for an attitude, what they called an attitude adjustment, at a local bar, often on payday, and it's a jam session, getting it off your chest, morale boosting blowout, and a chance to discover that management has told most of them that they are the worst carrier in the station. And here he's divide. This is a carrier describing how the current divide and conquer strategy in this time of understaffing, which is to target limited duty carriers, 8-hour medically limited carriers, and carriers on sick leave, instead of admitting that the staffing problem is caused by the hiring freeze, management will make snide remarks denigrating these carriers. Park Rose carriers are not taking the bait. Out of their history of struggle and making friends with each other, Park Rose stands solid. So anyway, that was that story about 100% Park Rose. And I've got another one. What's this? Well, this is, and I like to do these kinds of stories to everyday heroes, about how, you know, letter carriers help people out on their route. This is folks at East Portland Station, which is over on 7th near Belmont. And I'm interviewing Bill Stallings and Tamara Swan. And they say that a tavern owner and chief bartender were concerned that a regular customer had not been in for several days. In fact, the old man was not looking well the last time he'd come in and fallen down in the tavern. Claudia's, a longtime fixture on Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, was a neighborhood hangout where everybody knows your name. So they asked their mail carrier, Bill Stallings, to look in on the elderly gentleman. And though it was not on his route, Bill took down the nearby address, looked in on the chap. The house certainly looked neglected and there was no one answering the door. And so later that day, after completing his appointed routes, Bill checked in on the gentleman. He called the gatekeeper program, and county social workers came out and anyways, this is a story of how he was rescued.
Can you spell Bill Stallings?
Stallings, S-T-A-L-L-I-N-G-S.
And Tamara Swan?
T-A-M-A-R-A-S-W-A-N.
And what is the gatekeeper program?
Relationship that our union has with the with Multnomah County to connect with their social workers. If we see that there's somebody on or out, that there's a problem, that there seems to be a problem, and we actually had a And I don't know if this is still happening, but it was when I was active, where we actually had a sticker that we would put on someone's mailbox if they were particularly vulnerable, you know, frail, elderly, so that even if we were on vacation or, you know, someone else was on the route, if the mail was piling up, or no, if there was one day of mail that had not been taken out of the box, that we would alert the gatekeepers.
Wow, that's a really interesting part of the job that I wouldn't think of, but now, of course, that makes sense that something like that would exist as you are seeing the same people in the same houses and homes day after day. And who else is better positioned to see something over time besides a neighbor or somebody at a bar or something like that? But
right.
To have something like that in place makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that's something that we did. It was our initiative as a union to make that happen. And, you know, many of us were doing it informally. I had an elderly woman on my route that I knocked on her door every day. You know, because she wanted it and it made sense to me. But I also had a person in a wheelchair who I knocked on their door every day. So they're actually we'd like to get something going on a national basis, but I don't know if it's going to happen. In France, they've instituted a program where letter carriers are actually trained to do short interviews with customers on a regular basis. I can't remember whether it's once a week or, you know, where you actually try to analyze whether someone's going downhill, if their, you know, cognitive faculties are declining, if they seem, you know, physically or mentally off. And what it's called something like look in on our appearance or something like that. And it's basically for, you know, for elderly folks or frail folks who live apart from their families, right? And so their families pay the letter carrier or the post office to have a letter carrier, you know, spend a particular amount of time with them every so often, whatever, wow, to check in. And, you know, they ask us, you know, the letter carrier asks a series of questions, the kinds of questions that a medical person would ask, you know, or a social worker. So that would be really cool if we did that. But still, it's just informal at this point. The French are much farther ahead of us.
And was that Everyday Heroes? Was that Everyday Heroes section also in 2008?
Yes.
Okay.
So now I'm into 2009 and I'm in February. February is Black History Month.
Okay.
And so I'm doing an interview with, or a write-up on Sam Smith, who was a shop steward in Gresham, and I have a long relationship with him. We worked together on, we were off working on the Barack Obama and Jeff Merkley campaigns together. But he's a retiree, and he's currently our on our executive board with me, and he's the director of retirees. But anyway, there's just a kind of
the executive board of the branch.
Currently. So he's another one of those, you know, folks that didn't walk away but stayed involved when they retired.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pretty active retiree group. Oh, and here's an article by Peter Shapiro. Basically, Peter Shapiro was I've probably talked to him about him before.
Mm-hmm.
He was the editor prior to me. And he's writing, this is in 2009, about, you know, how terrible the Great Recession is and how we need to get back our militancy and tell stories about the Great Depression. And I mean, mass protests. Anyway, but that's the kind of stuff we would write about back in that day. Oh, and here's a whole spread on Kelly Pendel, a whole, you know, after she died, and everybody's, you know, writing their little tribute to her. But moving right along, oh, I love these. This is East Portland Station. This is profile of you know, it's East Portland Station, 100% Union. East Portland Station sits on Southeast 7th Avenue between Hawthorne and Belmont Streets, covers from the Willamette River to 42nd, from Broadway to Division. It's a mix of residential, from single family to high rise apartments, businesses, and funky avant-garde Hawthorne District to the East Side Industrial Area to the Lloyd Center Mall. And the common theme emerged from my conversations with East Portland carriers. They like the neighborhood. Most of them live in the neighborhood. Many bike or walk to work. this is Tamara Swan again. There are many characters and many stories from our peculiar corner of the Portland District. I've been told by several people passing through that the station appears to be full of wackadoodles. Once we tried to make a list of normal carriers and only settled on three possibilities, and two of them were questionable. Our reputation as a hardworking station is not exaggerated. We like to play too. Our softball team possesses a mind-boggling lack of skill, but our post-tournament tailgate party is awesome. Tamara was a shop steward at that station, and we have sent so many crummy bosses packing that I've lost count. I began my career at East Portland 24 years ago and was shocked by how frank and direct the carriers were with the bosses. Coming from menial, non-union jobs, I had no idea employees could possess a backbone and dignity. I became a union member during my first week.
This is taking a step away from it, but I want to ask, there has been a lot of poor management that we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Is your sense that it is a particularly, like, that it is particularly, or that it attracts particularly bad management in the Postal Service, or what accounts for that, do you think?
As someone who has had 25 jobs in my wage slavery career, I wouldn't say that they're that different than any boss. However, they certainly have very little training in people relations. They come right out of the craft, and they're often people who have only worked a little while in the craft, and they're ambitious. But there's also a kind of paramilitary culture that comes from having so many veterans. Because there's veterans preference in hiring. And, where is it? Bud Stroll, I was just really reading this. Oh, I don't know where it is. One of the old timers was talking about how back in the day, there wasn't the pressure. There was low wages, but there wasn't the pressure to, you know, run your route and, go. And, there wasn't this four-star overtime and all this kind of stuff. And I just think that the institution has, you know, it's been transformed from a government bureau to a off budget, you know, partially privatized, forced to be run like a business mm-hmm. rather than a service, you know, so that all of the bad features of capitalism were incorporated into the Postal Service, you know, speed up and pressure from management. So it's kind of, you know, I also know a number of letter carriers who went into management and came back, you know, went in because they thought that they could help make a change and treat people more humanely, and discovered that shit runs downhill and you really can't.
That makes sense, especially that piece about sort of the partial privatization and I guess sort of that institutional culture starting from the top and coming down.
Yeah, there's been a series of you know, postmaster generals, including the current one, who have, you know, come right out of private, you know, corporate sector, you know. So they're trying to implement the same project of, you know, speed up and cuts and closures and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Reduction of the workforce. This is Tamara Swan again. My favorite story is the year-long saga of the rotating door of 8 managers and, no kidding, 40 supervisors. This is in 1 year. Wow. While they keystone-copped their way through the office, the carriers came to work, cased their mail, carried their mail, went home. Some days there was no boss in the office to hold the clipboard, and we made our own plan. Very often, the manager's chair was vacant for days or weeks, yet the mail got delivered every day. It was the freaking coolest. East Portland Fox.
Is she still there? Or is she retired?
No. In fact, she died recently, but I don't even know how. I couldn't find out. She was a very cool person. I liked her. One story was about a carrier who was denied incidental leave to attend his sister's wedding. He was supposed to give away the bride. On the day of the wedding, he just cased up his route, divided up the route into many small pieces, which he gave to willing co-workers, then took off for the wedding. Co-workers carried his route in undertime, and management was left flat-footed. Another incident involved a rookie carrier who crashed his Jeep on Hawthorne as he was leaving the station. Mail was all over the street. A veteran carrier stopped to help the shaken newbie. Other carriers stopped on the way out to their routes. The veteran took charge of the scattered mail, sorted it into sections, and handed out pieces to other volunteers. And by the time the supervisor arrived on the scene to write up the accident, the mail was on its way to be delivered. Of course, management was too flustered or clueless to thank the rescue crew. I just love this stuff. Solidarity has been built through continual battles with untrained, ignorant, or abusive managers and supervisors. One rookie remembers his first day on the shop floor, hearing a supervisor lose it, screaming at a fellow carrier, and watching other carriers surround the super to calm him down. The rookie became a shop steward, convinced he needed to know his rights in those situations. Some mentioned that supervisors seem to enjoy egging you on in morning commitment times. We talked about commitment times, right? Where that supervisor comes around and says, when are you leaving? When are you coming back? Commitment. And, you know, some people say stuff like, well, my only commitment is to my wife. I'll give you an estimate. Shop stewards and former shop stewards often step out on the floor to follow the supervisor or model appropriate responses to disrespectful challenges. Others noted that East Portland managers, with few exceptions, seemed unable to understand the complexity and variability of each route or trust the word of the regular carrier. Anyway, East Portland carriers are fun, interesting, even charming. Lots of socializing goes on in the basement before work, at the time clock, after work over a beer or playing cards. Managers and supervisors come and go, but the union of East Portland carriers remains solid. And that was, you know, was certainly true in my life at Piedmont too. Managers and supervisors would come and go. Looking at, this is in June of 2009. I did a feature on The Young and the Restless, and interviewed 1, 2, 3, 4 young shop stewards, people who had only been, you know, working maybe a year or two, but who had stepped up. And so I just asked each of them the same question, like, what are your concerns about the future of the Postal Service? What's your advice for other young junior carriers? If you were president of the union, what would you do to make it strong or stronger? How did you get connected and committed? How did you become a leader? What's it like being around all these older carriers talking about the good old days? Mm-hmm. That was fun. How are we doing for time?
Got about 7 minutes.
Okay, so this is another 100% union, Lentz. Lentz Station is, are you familiar with where Lentz is? It's like outer southeast. Mm-hmm. I describe it as a gritty working class neighborhood. You have to be ready to get dirty if you want to carry mail in Lentz. Dust, dirt roads, potholes, no sidewalks or curbs. These are some of the hallmarks of this outer southeast zone. Lentz has long been known as Felony Flats for its large ex-con population. Its feisty residents were recently in the news for mass protests to reject conversion of Lentz Park into a minor league ballpark. Of course, that was unsuccessful. Now the pickles. Takes a certain kind of carrier to stick with Lentz Station. A number of the people I interviewed have lived in the area for decades, love the place, have watched their kids grow up on their route, go to the weddings and the funerals. They like the atmosphere of the station. Carriers do stuff together, go to ball games, races, out for a drink, karaoke. Rough management. Supervisors who nitpick people who had personal vendettas, who focused on the bottom 5%, riding them until they bid out or sped up, and then moved on to the next bottom 5%. Some carriers bid out during a stint with a particularly bad manager. Others, let's see, where am I going to?
What does bid out mean?
Bid out? So as openings come up, somebody retires or quits, there are, in the Portland area, there are 25 stations, post offices that letter carriers deliver out of. And if an opening happens in another station, you can bid into that opening if you have, and they're awarded by seniority, you know, if more than one person bids. Yeah. So it's often the case that people get away from a bad manager or even to be on a route in your own station, to be in a different place, You know, more the more seniority you have, the easier it is for you to bounce around. So other carriers, oh, led by a courageous shop steward. This is a particularly bad managers who handed out discipline like it was candy. Led by a courageous shop steward, began after work meetings. Almost all signed a letter to Senator Ron Wyden, which cited the stress, tension, and poor morale at Lent Station. The letter warned that the situation was getting so bad, some feared an outbreak of violence. Senator Wyden's office responded, interviewing several carriers and taking their concerns downtown. The bad manager was gone shortly thereafter. Wow. Unfortunately, they don't get fired. They get transferred. And you have to warn the people that they're going to.
They don't get fired because it's hard to get fired.
Yes. Unless you're embezzling or something. It's really hard. Here's another good story. One carrier told me that his wife was called up on 10 days' notice to deploy to Iraq. He asked for a few days off to spend with his wife and three kids before this huge life-changing event. The boss said no. When other carriers found out, about five of them stormed the boss's office, demanding to know, what were you thinking? One carrier parked his pickup near the entrance to the post office with a sign in the window informing customers that the boss wouldn't let a carrier off to spend time with his soon-to-be deployed spouse. Several vets from the community went in to talk with the managers, demanding to know, what's wrong with you? Needless to say, the boss changed his mind.
Wow.
Another told a story of the manager who informed him that he'd been in the bathroom 9 minutes. And did he know how long 9 minutes is? Unfazed, the carrier responded that long bowel movements were a family tradition, going on to describe in vivid detail each of his family members' bathroom practices. After this 15 to 20 minute explanation, the manager threatened to send this carrier to see the postal doctor to get a medical explanation for his 9 minute bowel movement, but the boss never followed through. Several carriers mentioned using humor as an important weapon against oppressive bosses.
That's all from Lentz.
This is all Lentz, yes. Yes. But, you know, the daily class struggle.
We are at time.
Oh, okay.
Very good. I will press stop here.